TFC advances in the CONCACAF Champions League on aggregate goals. Here's TFC head coach Greg Vanney is with us. I think, Vanney, this is the first time I've ever congratulated somebody on a loss.
Well, thank you. Those are the rules. The away goals are important in this game, and we managed to get through on away goals.
So a strange two halves. You know, a first half close to the vest, nothing. Some chances, but nothing materializes, and then everything goes kind of berserk in the second half. Can you explain that?
Yeah, because when you get into these two-leg series and the way away goals play a factor in it, when somebody scores, the momentum can shift big, and teams either find themselves in a very urgent situation, or you know, at 1-0 or at 2-1 when we went there, they needed one goal to turn it into their favor.
Yep.
And when we got the goal first, then it became really urgent because now they had to score two goals just to push it into penalty shots. And so penalty kicks. And so that urgency then starts to push the tempo a lot more. And now when they score a goal, everything kind of, you know, starts to pick up. But the goals really in these series, goals change games, and they change the tempo of games and the flow of games. And that's what you started to see there in the second half when we were able to get the first goal. It just really started to open up.
Now, you would understand that it's difficult to get a sense of the atmosphere when you're watching on television. You sort of can, but yeah. It's kind of difficult. What was it like in there? That's a pretty loud place, huh?
It is. It's impressive. It was, you know, there's a section that is just their main supporter, similar to ours, and they produce a pretty extraordinary amount of noise for the amount of people that seem to be in that area, which is, I think that's why they call it the volcano, I think. But then over the course of the game, everybody around has certain things that the rest of the stadium gets involved in, and it has its ebbs and flows. So like during the first half, for example, we kept a lot of things at bay. They didn't have many chances. Everything was a little bit slowed down, as you said, so it wasn't as loud. But there were moments in the game after we scored, they erupted to try to get the team going again after they scored. So there was moments in the game where it really just, it was very loud. But it's a tough place to play for lots of reasons. The crowd obviously is a factor for them and drives some energy into the team.
I want to let Richard in here, but first, so at the end of the game, I'm watching and I got to be honest with you. I thought you guys won, but I wasn't 100% sure. I hadn't really kind of figured it out. And I'm in the midst of doing that. And I see you smiling and walking around and going, oh, wait a second. It's over. There is no overtime and whatever. And I get it.
Yeah.
And the crowd is still loud, but it didn't sound like they were booing. Do you think there were people in the crowd who didn't know what was going on, that they thought maybe there was going to be overtime?
I'm not sure. I think they maybe understood, but for them, in some ways, it kept their winning streak alive. I think it's now 23 or 24 games.
Yeah.
Unbeaten streak, so that's still alive. There's certain things. I think at the end of the day, maybe they're just behind their team no matter what, and they know they got to play again in a couple of days. I don't know exactly, but their reaction was a little bit different than maybe I thought it might be as well, but they were with, even when we scored the goal, like I said, to go ahead, the crowd actually got much louder to push the team forward. It wasn't a boo or anything. It went the other way.
Interesting.
So it was, they're very much behind their group.
Yeah. It could have been respect too. I saw the coaches shaking hands after the game. It seemed like mutual respect as well. Maybe the crowd picked up on that. Greg, when I knew you were on, the thing I was fascinated to ask you was, is there any way to replicate that kind of noise you would face at Tigres, or is it just a case of you have international players, they've been in hostile environments? But you know, we see in the NFL, you play loud music, you try to sort of get a sense of like what
during practice, you
yeah,
mean,
during
like
practice,
in preparation.
Yeah, like what a stadium would be. Is there anything that you can do as a team to get ready, or do you just have to experience it and play on your experience?
I think you just have to play with it. I think a lot of, you know, professional athletes would probably say that once the game gets going, they actually don't really recognize the sound or the volume or some of that stuff. But once you're kind of locked in, then a lot of things that happen outside of the field don't really impact you. I mean, you asked me about the crowd, and I think I probably noticed it two or three times during the game. And mostly it was before the game started, when I came out and they started making noise, that I really noticed it. So I think once the guys lock in, then it's not really a factor, other than it's really difficult to pass a message or communicate to each other or anything like that. That's where the noise really draws some impact. But I think now guys are aware of each other enough. We've been together as a group for a while that they do a pretty good job of communicating and recognizing just through their eyes and body language and stuff.
One more for me. I saw this on ESPN that first time two MLS teams had eliminated Mexican teams in CONCACAF play. That had only happened three times in 30 previous meetings. What does this mean, in your opinion, Greg, for the MLS? What does it mean for the league to have that kind of statement night?
I think it's showing a lot of progress for soccer in North America. I think our league continues to grow. We're still a very young league, and with the growth of our academies, our younger players and our core group of players that are coming through each of our systems are getting better. Our the mechanisms to actually go and spend money and bring in DPs, and now the TAM players and all these things that take a lot of explaining, but there's more money now to be able to go bring in some of the best players that we can possibly get to around the world. And some of these things are now, and I also think that more of our clubs in our league are having a clear identity in terms of tactics and sophistication and some of those things. And as those three things start to come together, I think we're closing the gap on some of the other leagues around the world, and how quickly is, remains to be seen. But I think for sure with the Mexican league, we've closed the gap pretty good. And I think we'll continue to do so, because this is, MLS is becoming really a league of choice for players around the world. And you see some of the top Mexican talent now up in the MLS as well and at the LA clubs. And so it's, this kind of statement is showing that this league is really coming along, and that we can compete with our Mexican neighbors, maybe for, one of the first times in a lot of years. And tonight will be interesting, because there's a lot of pressure on Chivas Guadalajara to win in their series against Seattle, because if three teams drop out, then I can tell you it's going to be close to a crisis in Mexico.
Yeah, no kidding. with Greg Vanney, the head coach of TFC. So with the more traditional is the wrong word, longer existing leagues in North American sport, in basketball, baseball, football, hockey, you play the regular season, then you play the playoffs. There are no other games. There are no other series. There are no subscripts to the main script. In soccer, no matter where you are in the world, there's your regular season, and then there's these games over here, this Champions League or this FA Cup in Britain, whatever it happens to be. So this is one of those other things for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
How do you, what's the importance to you of winning CONCACAF coming off an MLS championship? I can't imagine it's as important as an MLS championship, but what does it really mean to you and to the guys?
For us, it's a really important event, and it's a really important championship to try to win. I think I would have to put in a different context of winning an MLS Cup, just because obviously the MLS Cup domestically and in our league is the thing you want to accomplish most. But an international competition, it's where you get to, not just us, but fans, we get to measure ourselves with some of the other top teams for sure in our region, and obviously in Mexico specifically. And no one's been able to win this. No team from MLS has been able to win this version of the CONCACAF Champions League. And the winner of this then goes on to the World Club Championships later on. And so that would give us the opportunity to represent really this CONCACAF region in the World Club Championships, which has never been done by an MLS team, which when you get into the world of soccer, being able to compete and play internationally is a big deal. And you see that in Europe with Champions League, right? Champions League for a lot of clubs is a bit more important than even their domestic league in some ways. And so maybe not that same in our league yet or in our CONCACAF region, but it's one of those things that is really important in all of our growth as a league, as a club, and really in the game in North America, I think.
So watching the championship game last year, which you won, there's obvious and expected enthusiasm on the part of the players, joy at winning, and it was demonstrative on the field. That's perfectly understandable. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what you would expect. Mm-hmm. Is it just me, or were your guys a lot more subdued with the victory last night. I get it's not the championship yet, but this was a big accomplishment for your side. Were they a little subdued? I mean, they're happy, but they weren't overjoyed, I didn't think.
Yeah, guys were happy. I think there's a little bit of a mixed emotion in there, and also there's a little bit of an understanding that they haven't quite accomplished what they've set out to accomplish. But the mixed emotion is, I think we really wanted to win the game. I mean, especially when we got up 2-1.
Yeah.
Again, them having not lost in that stadium in 23 games, to really go down to Mexico and beat the best Mexican team in Mexico would be a huge statement. And I think we really deep down wanted to do that. And so the mixed emotion was, we were in position. We probably could have done that. We managed to really, that the second goal we gave up really gave them a little bit of life there at the end. And then they really pushed for the next one. But I think that was the mixed emotion. And I think guys were tired, to be honest, between fatigue and the fact that we didn't win the game. I think guys were subdued a little bit more, but for sure, once they came down off of all of it, they're pretty happy about where they're at right now.
Okay.
Sure.
One more for me, Greg. Jurvinko, he's an extraordinarily great free kick specialist. And as a soccer fan, I wonder how much of that is God-given and how much of that is just work ethic in placing the ball at different parts of the field, in free kick situations, and just figuring out how to bend the ball and angles. Because that guy is, I mean, he's just unbelievable to watch.
It's all practice. And it's not just, it's practice, because it's first and foremost, it's technique. He hits the ball in different ways. He has the one that he bends over the wall that drops into the near post. And then he hits another one that he hits a little bit more off the instep or off the top of the foot, that kind of knuckles and bends away from the goalkeeper. So he has different techniques, and he uses them to be able to go either back post or to near post. And so he has different ways depending on, you know, what he sees as the opportunity in the moment. And I'm sure from the time he was young, he's worked on his ball striking and free kicks and all those kinds of things. He does it with us when he's working on them on a consistent basis, which is what he's done all preseason. Then he doesn't need many, and he'll pick one out. And I think what helped him last night was he actually had one probably 5 to 10 minutes before that he hit well, but he didn't hit it hard enough or in the right place to really threaten the keeper. And so he had one warm-up shot, and then he actually just penned that one in the upper corner. So, but he puts a lot of work into it, and I'm sure he's put a ton of work in it over the course of his career.
Last question from me. I don't know what your angle was or whether you watched a replay of it. The handball call in the box at the end that resulted in the free. Yeah. Did you think that was a good call or not?
I watched the replay. I didn't know what happened. It was too far away from me during the game. No, I don't think it was a good call. I think the rule now is, like, your arm is an extension of your body. So if it's in a natural position, meaning by your side,
then it
can't be a handball, because you can't put your arms somewhere. They're a part of your body. So if your arms are up and out and in an unnatural position and it hits your arms, then they tend to call that. But his arm was down by his side, and in what was a natural position, he wasn't even kind of really looking at the time.
He was turned away, really.
So, I mean, listen, and to be fair, sometimes in CONCACAF, when you go into these different countries and play, then that's one of the challenges of getting results on the road in CONCACAF, and we've seen it in World Cup qualification and everything. It's not easy to go on the road and get results, and little things like that they happen, and you have to figure out how to either not put yourself in those positions or make sure that you can overcome those situations, because they're inevitable almost.
In this new age of instant replay, which soccer is reluctantly, I think, getting involved in, would you like to see a scenario whereby you could challenge a call like that?
Yeah, we use it in MLS. It hasn't moved to CONCACAF yet. I think because mainly there's an expense to setting it up in every single stadium, and they can't really oversee that just yet in all the stadiums in CONCACAF. But I think there's value in it, as so long as it's not about every call, you know, for PKs or things that are a little more, you know, game-changing and things like that, then I find there to be some value in it. And I know there's mixed emotions and there's always a debate on that, but I think you want, as best you can, you want the game to have the fairest outcome possible and you know, try to keep as many of those game-changing moments clean as you can.
Great job last night, and congratulations.
Thank
moving
you.
On, moving on. We'll
thank you.
We'll talk to you after you win the next round.
Okay, perfect.
Thanks, Greg. Greg Vanney, TFC head coach.